Well, if you haven't noticed already, Joel's not here today. He is out, should be out in Indiana by now, or getting close to it. And he's spending this time with his daughter, and they're going to be attending a concert tonight. And so he'll be coming home tomorrow. But so we just keep our thoughts and prayers with Joel as he is away from us today. Allie read the scripture for today about the bent over woman. And when we hear a Bible story like this, we tend to look briefly at the person who's being healed, but then we focus more on what Jesus did or is doing in the story. And when we do that, we have a tendency many times to label the person. In this case, it's the bent over woman. In some other stories, it's like the blind man where Jesus put mud on his eyes so he could see again. Or in some cases, it's the lame person, that maybe the man sitting beside the pool and waiting for somebody to put him in. Maybe we label the person in the story because the story doesn't really give us a name. Maybe we label them because it's easier for us to remember what the story is about. Labeling is something we do every single day, whether we realize it or not. We tend to label groups of people, or we tend to label a person based on a characteristic or a habit that we notice. Labels can be very helpful to us, but they can also be very limiting and hurtful, as we'll see in today's story. Now, today I'm going to take us on a different kind of journey with this story. I'm not going to focus so much on what Jesus did as I am about the person in this story. I want us to look in greater detail at her. What might she have been like? What was it like living bent over in half for 18 years? What was it like living as a person labeled? Now, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone here for a little bit to tell this story, and I'm going to step into her shoes and tell it from her point of view. And I'm going to tell it what it might have been like. Nobody knows for sure the details of the story behind her. But by doing this, when I read a Bible story like this, I like to put myself into the character of the story. And it helps me, and hopefully it will help you, to understand, to identify more clearly with the person in the story. And then hopefully also help us to identify with our own relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, before I begin the monologue, her monologue, I want to invite you to listen for a few things. First, how does her perspective change over time? Her perspective on life. Secondly, what is different about how Jesus treats her compared to how other people in her community treat her? And last, how does this story relate to your life? How does it relate to your life? I am a Jewish woman, and I consider myself to be an ordinary woman. But this wasn't always the case. For you see, for 18 years, I was bent over in half. I was known in my town as the bent over woman. Most of the people didn't even know my name. They just knew me because of my condition. So that's what I was known as. Until one day, that changed. A man by the name of Jesus came to town, and he changed my life. So you better understand my story. Maybe I ought to start back closer to the beginning. When I was a child, I loved running around and playing with the other children. And I especially loved market day because there were all the merchants set up and we would run and hide behind the merchant carts until they would shoo us away. And then we would dodge in and out of the people that were walking in town. Oh, we would get some glares and we would get some fists thrown up in the air and some verbal scolding. But we had fun. Another thing I loved to do as a child was sit on the stoop of my home. And I would sit there and I would look down at the dirt under my feet. I would wiggle my toes in the dirt. And I would think about where these feet and where this dirt was going to take me someday, where this dirt road was going to lead. And I loved the feel of the cool earth beneath my feet. I could have sat there for hours. But then I hear mother calling, and it's time to do chores. So in I went, and my dreams would have to wait for another day. Now, one of my chores was going along with my brothers to the village well. And we would gather water for the family and bring it home. And they would give me the smallest bucket. And I would carry it, and the weight of it would just swish and slosh as I walked along. And the water would soak my clothes and my feet. And my brothers were a little upset about this because half my water would be gone till we got home. But I didn't care. It felt so good on that dry, dusty road to have my feet wet. And when we would stop to rest, the water dripped off my clothes and my feet, and it made mud. And I would dig my toes into that mud, and it would squish up between my toes. I just loved that feeling. It was awesome. And then it would dry as our walk continued home. All that mud would dry on my feet. That felt really neat, too. My mother wasn't impressed when I got home with dirty feet, but it was fun. I was too young to work in the fields, but I went out with my family anyway. And I used to pick the flowers and all the greens that were around. My mother called them weeds. I didn't call them weeds, I called them beautiful flowers, and I would gather them up and I would take them home and I would sit them beside my bed where I could watch, where I could look at them. I loved it. But as I got older, things changed. Now when I go to gather water, I had two large buckets, one in each hand. And as I walked along and water spills out, it was no longer a joy. It was a nuisance. Because if too much water landed on the ground, it meant I had to go back another trip to the well. And when I would get in town, those kids, they would be running everywhere and they would bump into me and water would go. Oh, those kids! But I kept walking home. When I got home, I would empty the water into a tub, and I would rub my aching back. It just hurt so bad. But there was no time to rest. I had to get out to the field. So I went out to the field to help the family. There's always the tilling and the planting and the weeding. Don't even get me started on the weeding, because you pick them one day, and they're right back the next. Those weeds. So you're constantly bending over, picking up weeds. It hurt my back. It hurt my back. We also had chickens in addition to the land. Well, it was my job to go get the feed in town and bring it back home. So I would throw the feed on my back and I would bend over and walk with it like that for a while. And the only view I had was the dirt road. And I could just hardly wait to get home and to look up at the blue sky and not this darn dirty brown dirt. Well, partway home, it would get too heavy for me, and I would roll the feet off my back, and I would grab two corners, and I would start dragging and pulling the feed. And that did nothing but twist and pull on my back even more. My back, I was used to being in constant pain. And I found that if I just leaned forward a little bit, it would help the pain go away. Before you knew it, I was bent over in half. My parents took me to the doctor, but there was nothing that the doctor could do for me. There was nothing that could be done. And my brothers, well, they weren't too happy with me because I couldn't do anything, so that meant more chores on their plate. So they weren't happy with me either. You know, I had dreams one day. I had a dream of having a family. I couldn't have a family. I dreamed of walking these dirt roads. Where was I going to go? I couldn't walk for long distances. I had a few friends that came over to visit, but I really couldn't do much, so they didn't come very often. I was a kind of outcast, and I felt useless. I was used to living with pain, with lost dreams, with people looking at me with pity in their eyes, and I felt hopeless and I felt useless. It was a lonely and joyless life. My spirit was crushed right along with my body. Simple tasks were difficult for me. I remember eating was so difficult because I couldn't sit up straight. I didn't feel well most of the time because my organs were being crushed. And eating, it caused me to gasp and to choke. And taking that simple drink of water usually meant an unwelcomed bath. It was joyless. The only joy I found was going to the synagogue to pray. The rabbi would read the words of the psalmist, "I cry out to you, O God, hear my prayer." And the psalmist's words became my words. I cried out for 18 years. 18 years I cried to God. Did he hear me? Then one day, I was walking to the synagogue, and I would hear people talking. You see, I no longer could see people face to face. My only view were feet. And I could hear people talking, and they were talking about a visiting rabbi by the name of Jesus from the town of Nazareth. And they were saying that he did miracles and he healed people. And I thought to myself, could it be? Can he help me? Can he help me of this ache? And then I thought, no, I'm not going to get my hopes up because he probably does that for important people. Who am I? Who am I? But I went to the synagogue anyway. And when I arrived, I went to my favorite place, my place of peace, back in the corner. A place where people didn't look at me with pity in their eyes, but I could be seen by God. So Jesus started to speak. And when he started to speak, I heard him calling somebody forward. I didn't know who he was calling forward, and pretty soon I noticed that the women's feet were starting to move, and there was this space that was coming up in front of me. And I thought, what's going on? So I twisted to see what was going on. And then Jesus called again, and I realized he was calling me. He was calling me to the front. I was scared because now I didn't want people looking at me, and now all these eyes were on me as I walked forward. Well, Jesus met me partway. And he knelt down and he looked me in the face. This visiting rabbi took the time to kneel down and look me in the face. Tears welled up in my eyes, and I was speechless. Then he put his hand on my shoulder. The crowd gasped. Because, you see, when he touched me, I was considered unclean. And when he touched me, that made him unclean. But he didn't care. He just looked at me and he smiled. And he said, "Woman, you are set free from this ailment." Well, all of a sudden, I could feel every bone in my back release. And the pain was gone, and I stood straight up. I could feel my eyes open wide and my mouth drop open. And I was speechless. I didn't know what to say. And he looked at me, and he smiled at me with such compassion and love for me. I'll never forget his face. And before I knew it, I was jumping up and down, and Jesus was jumping up and down with me, and we were laughing, and the crowd was cheering. Oh, it was such a day, such a time. But then this voice from the front starts scolding me for coming to the temple that day to be healed. Well, Jesus didn't waste a moment. He rebuked what the leader said, and he said, "Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, be set free from bondage this day?" Did you hear what he called me? He didn't call me the bent over woman. He called me a daughter of Abraham. He gave me a new identity, an identity in him. That may have been some of what she went through. I don't know. But I like to put myself into the story so I can try to better understand where the person is, because when I do that, I often find myself in that story somewhere. Did you notice how her perspective changed over her life? She loved that dirt as a child. She didn't like it so much when it was her only view. She loved the water on her clothes. Not so much when she was trying to take a drink of water. And the weeds in the field, oh, they were her treasured flowers, no longer to be admired. And the children playing in the street as she once did, they were a nuisance to her at times. How has your perspective of life changed over the years? I was just thinking last week, I remember playing, I had a dollhouse as a child, and I remember playing with my dollhouse all the time for hours, and I loved it. And I had envisioned my life being this when I was playing with my dollhouse. Life was simple. Not so much anymore. Life has many things that can crush us. Many things that we get weighted down or bent over with the pressures of life. things such as physical ailments and diseases, lost or broken relationships, worries and fears, physical, mental, and emotional struggles. All these things can weigh us down and crush us, and we lose our joy. So how can we avoid being crushed? How can Jesus help you and help me to overcome what weighs us down? 2 Corinthians tells us we are afflicted. We are all afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that life, the life of Jesus, may also be made visible in our bodies. We're not promised a pain-free and carefree life here on earth, but we are promised that Jesus is going to walk with us every step of the way in this journey. Jesus is going to give us the strength to endure whatever comes our way. Challenges will come and challenges will go, but Jesus is forever. We need to look into the face of Jesus, because I can tell you, Jesus is looking at us just like he looked at that woman. And we need to look into the face of Jesus, because it is through Jesus that we can be lifted up. And he can make our spirits straight again. Only then will the lost joy and the lost dreams be restored. So what was different about how Jesus treated this woman compared to the others in the community? Two things I want to point out here. She did not go to Jesus for healing. Jesus came to her. He called her out. Now, this is interesting just to see that Jesus called her out, because in the synagogue, Jesus would have been all the way at the front. The women and men were separated. The men would have been at the front of the synagogue and the women at the back. And this woman would have been in the back with the women. But she was bent over in half, okay? Everybody else standing up, she would have been almost invisible from the front. But Jesus knew she was there, and Jesus called her out. Now, we don't know exactly how Jesus called her. The story doesn't tell us if he knew her by name or how he called her, but she knew that she was being called by Jesus. And you notice it said he called her a daughter of Abraham. This is the second thing that is so awesome about this story here, because he frees her. He gives her back her dignity and her freedom from this bondage that she's carried. And he gives her a new identity. He calls her a daughter of Abraham. That includes her in the community of faith, where she already was included, but it gives her a new identity. And that identity is in Jesus Christ. She's no longer that bent over woman. She's a daughter of Abraham. We too are sought out by Jesus, and we have our identity in Christ. This is some of the beauty of this story. Jesus sought her out, but he also seeks out you and me, because he wants a relationship with us as well. And that relationship, when we have that relationship, we're not conformed to this world. We're not conformed to the labels that this world gives us. But we're transformed through Jesus Christ, and we are made good and acceptable and perfect. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to seek out those in need, to truly see them as people of value, not as a label. So how does this story relate to your life? Maybe your spirit is feeling crushed due to a current struggle. Maybe Jesus has released you recently from carrying a load. Whichever it may be, we know that we are not alone on this journey. The scriptures tell us, I can do all things through him, through Jesus who strengthens me. We don't have to face our struggles alone. We have Jesus and we have the community of faith to walk alongside us. And that is something to praise God for. Now, today, I would have loved to have a dirt pile out on the parking lot. And with the rain, it would have made it mud. And I would have loved to invite all of you to go out there and walk in the mud and let that mud squish up between your toes and feel what it was like to be a child again. Because sometimes I think we forget, like this woman forgot, we sometimes forget. I don't think Kendall would have been too impressed with all the muddy footprints in the church, so that's one of the reasons we didn't do it. But I encourage you today and every day to dig your toes in the dirt and the mud and dream about where God is taking you next. Where is God leading you to next? Adjust your perspective to refocus your view on Jesus. Look at him face to face and ask him to help you recapture your joy. Look beyond the labels and see the person. See the person and really get to know them. And if you're facing a struggle right now, ask somebody to walk on this dirt road with you. Because where two or three are gathered, I, Jesus, is there. God isn't finished with any of us yet. No matter how young, old, bent over, or useless we may feel, we're still a child of God, and we have our identity in Christ. Amen. God, I just ask, I thank you very much for giving me the words to say today. And I just ask that you use us, no matter how useless we feel, that you use us for your glory. For even Jesus said, not my will, Lord, but yours. And so even if all of our dreams are not met and all of our agendas are not checked off, let us just be open to having you use us however you see that we need to work in this world. I thank you for all the people here and for all of our brothers and sisters that have gone before us and those that will come ahead. For we are all your family, God, and we praise you with all we have. In Jesus' name, amen.